We paid the check and left a dollar tip and counted what was left of my sergeant's loan. Decided we were going to have to keep on eating cheap because we were going to need gas money and phone money and some other expenses.
Where to now?
Summer asked me. Across the street, I said, to the motel. We're going to hole up all day. Little more work, and then we sleep. We left the Chevy hidden behind the lounge bar and crossed the street on foot. Woke the skinny guy in the motel office and asked him for a room.
One room?
He said. I nodded. Summer didn't object. She knew we couldn't afford two rooms. And we weren't new to sharing. Paris had worked out okay for us, as far as nighttime arrangements were concerned.
$15,
the skinny guy said. I gave him the money, and he smiled and gave me the key to the room Kramer had died in. I figured it was an attempt at humor. I didn't say anything. I didn't mind. I figured a room a guy had died in was better than the rooms that rented by the hour. We walked together down the row and unlocked the door and stepped inside. The room was still dank and brown and miserable. The corpse had been hauled away, but other than that, it was exactly the same as when I'd first seen it.
It ain't the George Sank,
Summer said. That's for damn sure, I said. We put our bags on the floor, and I put my sergeant's paperwork on the bed. The counterpane felt slightly damp. I fiddled with the heater under the window until I got some warmth out of it.
What next?
Summer asked. The phone records, I said. I'm looking for a call to a 919 area code.
That'll be a local call. Fort Byrd is 9192.
Great, I said. There'll be a million local calls. I spread the printout on the bed and started looking. There weren't a million local calls, but there were certainly hundreds. I started at midnight on New Year's Eve and worked forward from there. I ignored the numbers that had been called more than once from more than one phone. I figured those would be cab companies or clubs or bars. I ignored the numbers that had the same exchange code as Fort Byrd. Those would be off-post housing, mainly. Soldiers on duty would have been calling them in the hour after midnight, wishing their spouses and children a Happy New Year. I concentrated on numbers that stood out. Numbers in other North Carolina cities. In particular, I was looking for a number in another city that had been called once only, maybe 30 or 40 minutes after midnight. That was my target. I went through the printout, patiently, line by line, page by page, looking for it. I was in no hurry. I had all day. I found it after the third concertina fold. It was listed at 12:32. 32 minutes after 1989 became 1990. That was right about when I would have expected it. It was a call that lasted nearly 15 minutes. That was about right, too, in terms of duration. It was a solid prospect. I scanned ahead, checked the next 20 or 30 minutes. There was nothing else there that looked half as good. I went back and put my finger under the number I liked. It was my best bet. Or my only hope. Got a pen, I said. Summer gave me one from her pocket. Got quarters, I said. She showed me 50 cents. I wrote the best bet number on the Army memo paper right underneath the D.C. number for the Jefferson Hotel. Passed it to her. Call it, I said. Find out who answers. You'll have to go back across the street to the diner. The motel phone's busted. She was gone about 8 minutes. I spent the time cleaning my teeth. I had a theory. If you can't get time to sleep, a shower is a good substitute. If you can't get time to shower, cleaning your teeth is the next best thing. I left my toothbrush in a glass in the bathroom, and Summer came through the door. She brought cold and misty air in with her.
It was a golf resort outside of Raleigh,
she said. Good enough for me, I said.
Brubaker,
she said.
That's where Brubaker was, on vacation.
Probably dancing, I said. Don't you think? At 12:30 on New Year's Eve. The desk clerk probably had to drag him out of the ballroom to the phone. That's why the call lasted a quarter of an hour. Most of it was waiting time.
Who called him?
There were codes on the printout indicating the location of the originating phone. They meant nothing to me. They were just numbers and letters. But my sergeant had supplied a key for me. On the sheet after the last concertina fold was a list of the codes and the locations they stood for. She'd been right. She was better than the day guy. But then she was an E-5 sergeant, and he was an E-4 corporal, and sergeants made the U.S. Army worth serving in. I checked the code against the key. "Someone on a payphone in the Delta barracks," I said.
"So a Delta guy called his CO,"
Summer said.
"How's that help us?"
"The timing is suggestive," I said. "Must have been an urgent matter, right?"
"Who was it?"
"One step at a time," I said.
"Don't shut me out."
"I'm not."
"You are. You're walling up."
I said nothing.
"Your mom died, and you're hurting, and you're closing in on yourself. But you shouldn't. You can't do this alone, Reacher. You can't live your whole life alone."
I shook my head. "It's not that," I said. "It's that I'm only guessing here. I'm holding my breath all the time. One long shot after another. And I don't want to fall flat on my face. Not right in front of you. You wouldn't respect me anymore." She said nothing. "I know," I said. "You already don't respect me, because you saw me naked." She paused. Then she smiled. "But you need to get used to that," I said, "because it's going to happen again. Right now, in fact. We're taking the rest of the day off." The bed was awful. The mattress dipped in the middle, and the sheets were damp, maybe worse than damp. A place like that, if the room hadn't been rented since Kramer died, I was pretty sure the bed wouldn't have been changed either. Kramer had never actually gotten into it, but he had died right on top of it. He'd probably leaked all kinds of bodily fluids. Summer didn't seem to mind, but she hadn't seen him there. All gray and white and inert. But then I figured, what do you want for $15? And Summer took my mind off the sheets. She distracted me big time. We were plenty tired, but not too tired. We did well, second time around. The second time is often the best. That's been my experience. You're looking forward to it, and you're not bored with it yet. Afterwards, we slept like babies. The heater finally put some temperature into the room. The sheets warmed up. The traffic sounds on the highway were soothing, like white noise. We were safe. Nobody would think of looking for us there. Kramer had chosen well. It was a hideaway. We rolled down into the mattress dip together and held each other tight. I ended up thinking it was the best bed I'd ever been in. We woke up much later, very hungry. It was after 6 o'clock in the evening, already dark outside the window. The January days were spooling by one after the other, and we weren't paying much attention to them. We showered and dressed and headed across the street to eat. I took the Army phone directory with me. We went for the most calories for the fewest dollars, but still ended up blowing more than $8 between us. I got my own back with the coffee. The diner had a bottomless cup policy, and I exploited it ruthlessly. Then I camped out near the register and used the phone on the wall. Checked the number in the Army book and called Sanchez down at Jackson. "I hear you're in the shit," he said. "Temporarily," I said. "You heard anything more about Brubaker?"
"Like what?"
"Like, did they find his car yet?"
"Yes, they did, and it was a long way from Columbia."
"Let me guess," I said. "Somewhere more than an hour due north of Fort Byrd, and maybe east and a little south of Raleigh. About Smithfield, North Carolina."
"How the hell did you know that?"
"Just a feeling," I said. "Had to be close to where I-95 meets U.S. 70, right on a main drag. Do they think that's where he was killed?"
"No question about it. Killed right there in his car. Someone shot him from the back seat. The windshield was blown out in front of the driver's position, and what was left of the glass was all covered in blood and brains. And there were spatters on the steering wheel that hadn't been smudged. Therefore, nobody drove the car after he died. Therefore, that's where he was killed. Right there in his car. Smithfield, North Carolina. Did they find shell cases? No shell cases. No significant trace evidence either, apart from the kind of normal shit they would expect to find. Have they got a narrative theory? It was an industrial unit parking lot. Big place, like a local landmark, with a big lot. Busy in the daytime, but deserted at night. They think it was a two-car rendezvous. Brubaker gets there first, the second car pulls up alongside, at least two guys get out of it, they get into Brubaker's car, the one in the front and the one in the back. They sit a spell, maybe they talk a little, then the guy in the back pulls a gun and shoots. Which, by the way, is how they figure Brubaker's watch got busted. They figure he had his left wrist up on top of the wheel, the way guys do when they're sitting in their cars. But whatever. He goes down, they drag him out, they put him in the trunk of the other car, and they drive him down to Columbia, and they leave him there. With dope and money in his pocket. They don't know where that came from yet. Why didn't the bad guys move his car? I said. Seems kind of dumb to take the body to South Carolina and leave the car where it was. Nobody knows why. Maybe because it's conspicuous to drive a car full of blood with a blown windshield. Or maybe because bad guys are dumb sometimes. You got notes about what Mrs. Brubaker said about the phone calls he took? After dinner on the 4th? No, earlier, I said, on New Year's Eve, about half an hour after they all held hands and sang Auld Lang Syne. Maybe. I took some pretty good notes. I could go look. Be quick, I said. I'm on a payphone here. I heard the receiver go down on his desk, heard faint scratchy movement far away in his office. I waited. Put another pair of quarters in the slot. We were already down $2 on toll calls, plus 12 for eating and 15 for the room. We had $18 left, out of which I knew for sure I was going to be spending another 10, hopefully pretty soon. I began to wish the Army didn't buy Caprices with big V8s in them. A little four-cylinder thing like Kramer had rented would have gotten us further on $8 worth of gas. I heard Sanchez pick up the phone again. Okay, New Year's Eve, he said. She told me he was dragged out of a dinner dance around 12:30 in the morning. She told me she was a little bit aggrieved about it. Did he tell her anything about the call? No, but she said he'd dance better after it. Like he was all fired up, like he was on the trail of something. He was all excited. She could tell that from the way he danced? They were married a long time, Reacher. You get to know a person. Okay, I said. Thanks, Sanchez. I gotta go. Be careful. Always am. I hung up and walked back to our table.
Where now?
Summer said. Now we're gonna go see girls take their clothes off, I said. It was a short walk across the lot from the Greasy Spoon to the lounge bar. There were a few cars around, but not many. It was still early. It would be another couple of hours before the crowds really built up. The locals were still home, eating dinner, watching the sports news. Guys from Fort Byrd were finishing chow time in the mess, showering, getting changed, hooking up in twos and threes, finding car keys, picking out designated drivers. But I still kept my eye out. I didn't want to bump into a crowd of Delta people. Not outside in the dark. Time was too precious to waste. We pulled the door and stepped inside. There was a new face behind the register. Maybe a friend or a relative of the fat guy. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. We were in BDUs, no unit designations, no indication that we were MPs. So the new face was happy enough to see us. He figured us for a nice little upward tick in his first hour cash flow. We walked right past him. The place was less than one-tenth full. It felt very different that way. It felt cold and vast and empty, like some kind of a factory. Without a press of bodies, the music was louder and tinnier than ever. There were whole expanses of vacant floor, whole acres, hundreds of unoccupied chairs. There was only one girl performing. She was on the main stage. She was bathed in warm red light, but she looked cold and listless. I saw Summer watching her, saw her shudder. I had said, So what are you going to do? Go work up at the strip club with Sin? Face to face, it wasn't a very appealing option.